Join your faith with my faith as we pray in Jesus' name. Lord, we come to you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, that only name under heaven's skies wherein that we can be saved. And we calling out to you today, Lord, to save to the uttermost. We calling out to you to heal, deliver, and set free with the power of God. And we'll praise you for it all in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. I want to take our text today out of Acts in the second chapter. And we want to use for a thought, what meaneth this? Amen. We find these words recorded in the Acts the second chapter and in verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues as of fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in tongues, speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now this is the fulfillment of that. Now them, here down in the 12th verse of that same chapter, we find these words, and we find them recorded to say, and they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? And others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, this is in verse 14, lifted up his voice and said to them, ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. These men are not drunk as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it came to pass in the last days, said God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my handmaidens and on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor and smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon shall into blood before that great and noble day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whosoever call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This hour we're living in is a fulfillment of God's word. Now, I know that a lot of folks, you know, they'll say, well, now God only meant this for the day of Pentecost, but I find according to the word of God that God made this thing to be. For he said down in the 38th verse of the second chapter, then Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Listen to verse 39. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all them that are far off, even as many as the Lord thou God shall call. Now, there is one of the, I guess, most disputed things that's talked about in the church. A lot of preachers stay away from it. They don't want it in their churches. They don't want the movement of the Spirit. They don't want nobody talking in tongues. And they don't want any of it. They'll take on and use the name of Pentecost or full gospel. But let me tell you something. If you're not letting this mighty Holy Ghost work in your churches and in your life, you're not a Pentecostal. Amen. You're not anything to do with Pentecost, but this is the power of God. This is what in Acts 1 and 8, he told them to tarry into Jerusalem and wait until they endured with this power from on and high. This is the power of the church and for the church to win the lost for Jesus Christ. This is the power of God that will be about a demonstration and power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost and of the Spirit and of the power of God that the wicked can see and know that God is God, and this is the power that brings about conviction. This same Holy Ghost that God sent in a baptism form is the same Holy Ghost that by which we are drawn unto salvation. It's the same Holy Ghost that we are sealed unto salvation. We are drawn by the Spirit, by the Holy Ghost. We're called by the Holy Ghost. We're sought out by the Holy Ghost. We're saved by the Spirit of God, and God enters into us. Unless we have the Spirit of Christ, we are none of His. But in Jerusalem, they tarried there in that upper room. They tarried until the power of God come down, and they received the power to go out and be witnesses. It's led, we're led to believe that somewhat 65,000 people were saved in the first few months of the church after it was endured with the power from on high. We need that kind of revival today. We need the power of God that'll break the yoke. I'm a Pentecostal from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. And I know a lot of the church world acts like and looks like an attitude like you smell bad or got something wrong with you. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something. If you've been saved, you will not deny the Holy Ghost. If you're out there talking and saying that people that talk in tongues and people that have the Holy Ghost is of the devil, then you are not saved. You are of the devil yourself. Amen. If your pastor that you sit under says that the Holy Ghost is of the devil, get out of that church, run from it, because he is bound by Satan and he is the mouthpiece of Satan. Amen. I know a lot of good men. I know a lot of good men that go in their pulpit and preach to their church that talking in tongues is of the devil, and all those people that do those kind of things are of the devil. These men are doomed without any hope. Amen. I talked to several of them here in town that I'm friends with, and I know them. Amen. And I think, my land, these are too good of men to go to hell. These are too good of men to die without God. They go to their churches every day. They go to their pulpits every week. Amen. But they're hopelessly doomed without God, because you cannot blaspheme upon His Holy Ghost. You cannot say that the Holy Ghost is of the devil. You cannot say that talking tongues is of the devil. You cannot say the manifestations and the gifts of the Holy Ghost is of the devil, because if you do, you doom your soul to a devil's hell. And that's what the devil wants today. He wants a powerless church. We've got a powerless nation. We've got a president that says he wants everybody to sit down and have church together. I can't have church with a Buddhist. I can't have church with somebody's tied up in Islam. I can't have church with a Muslim. I can have church with them. I can tell them you're on the way to hell, and without Jesus Christ, they're lost. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something. Everybody wants to be religious, but they don't want to pay the price that it takes. Amen. That's the reason this man, Jesus Christ, they don't want to have nothing to do with him. They don't want, amen, to have any understanding at all. The Masonic order, amen, does not accept Jesus Christ. The Jewish religions does not accept Jesus Christ. The Catholic religions make Mary the intercessor in who you go to get to God. Amen. All these religions are false according to the Word of God. We've got these guys that are coming up and saying that Jesus is coming back in 1912. Somebody asked me just this week, said, what do you think about such and such preacher? And I said, well, I didn't know for sure about him, but he got up one day and said that Jesus would have to come in 2012, and I said, that makes him a false prophet. That takes him from the God side and puts him on the devil's side. When you say the Holy Ghost is of the devil, you are transferring yourself from God's side to the devil's side. When you deny the power of God and you deny the experience that happened at Pentecost, amen, and you deny the fact that it keeps happening, amen. I'm going to tell you, don't knock it if you don't got it. That's the best way I can say it. Don't knock it if you not got it. Amen. He filled me with the Holy Ghost. I was a young man, didn't even talk good, stuttered and stammered, couldn't get my words out. I was ashamed to say anything in public. I was ashamed to do anything. And God called me to preach. I fell down on my face in my living room after my family went to bed. And I said, Lord, I can't even stand up before people without crying. I'm so ashamed of the way I talk that I even stand and I'll get to crying, get choked up and can't say anything. I said, God, how in the world I'm going to preach the gospel if you don't help me? And I went down and I began to pray even more. My brother-in-law was a Methodist preacher, and he supposedly had got the Holy Ghost, and I was talking to him one night, and he told me, he said, now, Brother Goad, he said, Brother Leon, he called me, he said, if you don't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues, you can't go to heaven. And I thought, oh my. So I went back and asked him later, and he said, no, that's what, he didn't say that. He said that some people say that, but he didn't say that himself. He said that you need it and you want it and you got to have it. And he was right. Amen. But anyway, as I went down to my knees in prayer, and I always got down on the right-hand side of the sofa in the living room. I don't know why I never would pray on the left-hand side of the sofa. I always prayed as far on the right as I could. Amen. And I got down on my face before God, and I said, God, if this Holy Ghost is real, if it'll bring all things to your remembrance, if it'll make you bold, Lord, if this thing is real, I want it. Well, God, that particular night, my mouth flew open. I couldn't get it back shut. And I was just like a bird, you know, with the head up waiting for the mama to feed him. Amen. And I just froze there for the longest time. I got up and went on to bed. Next night or two, I went to a meeting, and they was having a prayer line for people to get the Holy Ghost, amen, evidence speaking in tongues. And I said, okay, Lord, it's real. I want the evidence. I want to speak in tongues as the Spirit give utterance, amen. And that happened. I'm like Brother M.H. Kennedy that written the book. I know it's real because it happened to me. You can talk about it. You can put it down. But my friend, if you've never experienced it, if you've never felt the power of the Holy Ghost that fell on Pentecost, that gives you boldness against the devil, that gives you boldness to speak in whatever situation you're called to speak, it gives you words to speak that you yourself are unable to speak, it brings back to remembrance everything that's written in the book, that everything that Jesus has said, everything that he spoke to you, everything you've read, everything you've studied, you could throw the outlines out the window, you could throw the sermon outlines out the window. You can throw your notes out the window. When he comes, he moves in and he takes your intellect and he speaks to you by the power and the oracles of God. Amen. And with boldness, you can declare the word of God. You can tell a lost and dying world they need Jesus Christ. You can tell the sinner they need to be saved. You can tell the homosexual they need to get right. You can tell the reprobate that it's over for them. You can tell the demons of hell, get out of the way. You can loose whatsoever that God gives you the power and the right to loose. You can bind whatsoever on earth you bind, and God will bind in heaven. You can loose on earth, and God will loose from heaven. I loose healing to those that need healing. I loose miracles to those that need miracles. I loose the power of God unto those that need his power. I loose salvation to those that are lost and set free. I loose to all those that will receive the message and the truth of God today. Victory to those that need a financial miracle. I loose a financial miracle to them. I declare the power of God and the anointing of God, for the yokes shall be broken. God told us to fast, and this will be a fast that the bounds of the enemy will be broken, and they shall be broken. The powers of hell shall be broken against that what God has given in my charge to do. I'll stand firm on the promises of God that he cannot lie and he cannot fail, and his word is a truth, and his word has been forevermore settled in heaven, and God will come through. I'm like Sister Mary Angle, a longtime friend of mine that died at 42 years old with cancer. She said, God's just like a big Brahma bull. She said, when you least expect it, God will come busting through. I'll tell you, my friend, hold on, because God will come busting through. God's got that miracle for you. God's will promise that what he's promised, he will bring to pass, and not one word, nor jot, nor tittle of his word will fail until it all come to pass. I know today that the power of God is real, because it happened to me. It happens to me every day of my life. Every morning I get up, he's the strength that's driving me. It's the anointing that's carrying me. And we're busting through walls, and we're tearing down walls all around the globe. Our ministry spanned to every country in the world. And we're building colleges, we're building schools, and we're building churches. Here on the home front, I'm going to tell you, it's war. Here on the home front, if you looked at it in face value, it would look like an endless, hopeless case. But I'm going to tell you, on the overall front, out on the front lines in the battle, amen, we've got soldiers that are fighting, that we have equipped with the knowledge and the anointing that God has given to me. It's poured out into hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of men and women across this globe that has an anointing, that a channel has been opened, because the Bible says, what meaneth this? It means that the power of God is breaking the yokes and setting the captives free. It means that the nine gifts of the Holy Ghost is equipped in the church, and we're speaking by the oracles of God, and we read off of the scrolls of heaven, and we're speaking what thus saith the Lord, and we're watching the walls like the walls of Jericho fall down. We're watching the seas and the rivers part to the left and right. We're watching the power of God manifest himself on every avenue, and he's not through yet. Just hold on, because God is coming through. God is moving, and God has chosen to anoint whosoever he will, and God will do what he said by his book. Amen. So watch and don't put your mouth on the Holy Ghost. Watch and don't put your tongue or your lip on the Holy Ghost. If you don't understand it, I said to God when I prayed the first prayer about the Holy Ghost, I said, God, if it be real. I didn't even know where it was real or not. But I had enough sense to not to call it of the devil. And I'm going to tell you something. There's a storm coming. And these little party time churches and little social clubs and get-togethers is not going to have the food to feed you in the storm. I said it last night in the meeting we had here. I said, I'm going to tell you something. I need the Holy Ghost to feed me. I need the Spirit of God to feed my soul. I need to take a drink from the fountain of living waters where we don't ever thirst again. I don't want no ritual. I don't want no routine. But I want the power of God instantaneously and simultaneously falling. I want them kind of services that the angels desire to look thereupon. I don't care if they call me different. I don't care if they look at me and shake their head and say, he's kind of off. Yeah, to the world standards, I am off. But when it comes to the Word of God, I'm right on the beam. Amen. I'm right on the cutting edge of the axe. And I lay that axe. I went in numerous places that God led me to. And I said, God, lay the axe to the root and the foundation of this going on here, because it's not of you. We had a car dealership here that was stealing off old people, trading their cars in and not paying the note off, and they'd somehow or another get the car sold and get the title around the bank. How they're doing, I don't know. But then the people later get a bill for their car that they'd done sold and had a payment on their new car. And I was told about it. I went down and stood in the showroom. They probably thought I was crazy. But I said, God, lay an axe. I lay an axe to the root of this business. It lost $3.5 million and went broke. They opened it up a second time and it went broke worse. Amen. Over in Pulaski County, there used to be a franchise of dealerships covered that whole county. That every kind of brand there was. A friend of mine was going to give a free building that he was buying, and half of the building he was going to give to our food program down there. We had to close that out because the county couldn't support it. But with a free building, it might have still been there to this day, I don't know. But that guy chuckled and laughed. He took the man for $13,000 and was going to take him for more. And the building wouldn't even pass inspection to be sold. And the guy'd give him $13,500. He'd give him a deposit to start with, and then he'd give him $10,000 more to hold it for 30 days. Into 30 days, the man took the $10,000, laughed and made fun of the man and told him, "I got your money." I stood right in the door of his showroom, facing him in the office, and I looked the man square dead in the face. I said, "I'm going to curse everything your hand touches." He looked at me and just laughed. I said, "Listen to me, buddy. You taking mouths out of the hungry, food out of the mouths of the hungry. You taking money from a man that's trying to give to the cause and the purpose of God. And you will not prosper. You will not enjoy not one dime of your money because I curse it." And I lay the root to it. I didn't think nothing about it. I went on about my business. Me and my wife was through there sometime later. And I rode by several of the places and all the cars was gone. I rode down to their main place and they had cars on the lot that was from the year before. And it was just a handful of them. And I asked somebody, I said, "What's going on?" They said he went broke. Somebody inside of the business was embezzling the money. And how they got caught is the state police started stopping all these cars that had 30-day tags. It was 2 months old, 3 months old. And he'd actually took the state's money for the taxes and the tags and embezzled that. And they come down there one day, the state police, with the warrants. And they cuffed him and let him out. And they said the man went bleh, and kind of took a wallet-eyed look and his tongue half hung out. He lost his mind. He went stark, craven mad when he realized that he lost everything that he had and the business was facing criminal charges. To my knowledge, he's still in a home. He's never known anything since. I'm going to tell you something. Don't mess around with the Holy Ghost. Don't mess around with the power of God. You say, "Well, Brother Goad, what made you do that?" I said, "God, the Holy Ghost come in me. And he rebuked that wickedness. And he laid the axe to the root." I could go on and tell you several other situations that I've watched God just literally go in and bring something to naught because it was contrary. And it was coming against God's sheep, God's business. It's messing with God's business. I'm going to tell you something. Don't mess with God's business. Don't mess with it. Because you get to messing in God's business, you're going to get in trouble. The message today, what meaneth this? This means that the power of God had fell on the New Testament church. Very few people know anything about the power of God. Very few people know anything about use the power of God. And I'm convinced that a lot of people's talking the talk that they've got the Holy Ghost. When he got to move, I see the look in the eyes and they get scared to death. And they just playing church. Even the ones that declare they have the power of God in their churches, most of the ones I've been in are just playing church. And they, you know, they got their ritual. I know I went and helped a revival at a church, and pastor's telling me about his daddy. As a boy, him and his daddy went to a church, and the church was bound, and somebody told him to get the big Bible up off of the, like we got a Bible here in front of the pulpit, get the Bible up and run around the sanctuary, and if it would, it'd free the church. Well, the power of God fell, and he said, church been bound about 3 years, power of God fell. So after that, 10, 15 years later, every time the church got a little bound, somebody grabbed that Bible and run around the church, and they'd all shout. What are you saying? I'm saying that's not the way God works. That's ritual. And I've found in Pentecost, there's some of the worst rituals. Matter of fact, it's almost worse than some of these nominal churches that don't have the Holy Ghost. I've never shouted the same way twice in my life. Amen. And when you hear somebody got a ritual, they say the same quotation of tongues every time the Spirit moves, check their life out because something ain't right. If they got the same manifestation and do the same accidental thing, that ain't the way the Holy Ghost works. That's ritual. And a lot of the Pentecostal churches that are claiming to have something are operating up rituals. They're just like a church that grabbed the Bible, run around, and every time they run around with the Bible, they'd all shout, go right back in their same rut. Devil like to keep you in a ritual, he like to keep you in a rut. But I'm going to tell you, what meaneth this? The power of God was loosed to the church that souls could be saved. Amen. And that's what it is today. It's the power of God loosed on the church. And I loose it. I loose it. I seen through the floor over there. I was walking around this building, turning the lights on. And I seen the foundation. Amen. And I said, God, in Jesus' name, bless all the way to the foundation of this building, this work. That the yokes be broken, let the power of God. And I pray the same, I cry the same for you today. For your bondages, for your financial dilemmas, for your sicknesses, your afflictions, let those yokes be broken. Lord, in Jesus' name, for the sinner that needs saved, let him be saved. For the Pentecostal, God that's down and thinks there's no hope, lift them up. Lord, direct them and bring them to the door of this place, this chapel. And God, let them know where the power of God and the demonstration of the Holy Ghost is present for them. God, bring them, bring them. Bring them in Jesus' name. I command Satan to loose the bonds. I command them to be loosed. God, bring them in Jesus' name. God, I have your will to be done. Set free those that need heal, needs miracles. Heal to the uttermost in Jesus' name. God bless you. God bless you. Amen.